What's it going to be like when our King Jesus returns? And how do we ensure that we'll be able to reign with Him when He does? That and much more is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm so excited that you've decided to join us because we are smack dab in the middle of a great series called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. This title is borrowed from a brand new book called Hebrews, Partners with Christ by Kenneth W. Yates. And we are so thankful to have Dr. Kenneth Yates in the studio with us for the duration of this series. So let's go right to our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Dr. Kenneth Yates. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And in the studio today is Dr. Ken Yates.
Great to be with you again.
And we are going through the book of Hebrews based on Ken's commentary on Hebrews called Hebrews Partners with Christ. It's available right now at our website, also through Amazon.com. It's a great commentary that's going to open up to you this crucial book of the Bible, all about the importance of living the Christian life, persevering in the Christian life, so that we can rule with Christ in the world to come. And in the last episode, we were discussing some themes in this book. And one of the most important themes is this idea of inheritance and being an heir, which is not a heaven or hell issue. It's a what issue?
It's a reward issue that Jesus is going to inherit the world to come. It all belongs to Him. He's going to rule over it.
And ultimately, that promise of inheritance, which isn't part of the doctrine of eternal rewards, also applies to us.
Right. We can share and be what the author of Hebrews would say is one of Christ's companions, or the Greek word is metakos, or in the plural, metakoi. We can be His partners. In fact, isn't that the subtitle of your book, Ken?
It is.
Absolutely. Partners with Christ. And I think that's a theme that many Christians don't have a firm grasp on. Either they're not aware of the idea of rewards, and even if they are, sometimes people say, well, that's not important to me. But the book of Hebrews is a exhortation to desire to be one of Christ's partners, fellow heirs in the world to come.
If this is not a motivation for you, if this is something that is not important to you, God wants it to be important for you because this is part of His eternal plan for believers.
Absolutely.
I like to think of it this way. In Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26, God creates man and woman. And what does He have them do almost immediately? He
creates dominion.
Dominion, rule. They're supposed to rule over creation. That was God's original plan, for man to rule. You know, we think about salvation as just getting out of hell, get out of jail free card. No, God's original plan was for humanity to rule over creation. And that plan obviously failed terribly with Adam and Eve's fall. But Christ comes back as the second Adam, who is, as we read in the opening verses, He is the heir of all things. Christ is going to rule over all of creation.
That's exactly right. And if He is going to rule and we rule with Him, then we are like Him to that degree, if that is what we were created for. And the author of Hebrews is going to make a big point in chapter 2 that in Christ, men and women are able to fulfill what they were created for. And so this is what we were created for. You're absolutely right, Sean, to reign over the works of God's hands.
Well, this is just, I mean, I'm very excited about this. So we're still in chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 5.
For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him."
All right, so these are quotes from the Old Testament. Why is He quoted? What does this mean? What's the purpose here?
Well, I think there's a couple things that are going on here. First of all, this is a clear indication that He is writing to people who are familiar with the Old Testament, and He's quoting the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So this lends support to the idea that He's writing to Jewish Christians. And again, at least with some brands of Judaism, they put a high emphasis on angels, and the author is showing that Christ is greater than the angels, and the angels will not rule the world to come. Christ will. And the other idea here is the prologue ended with Jesus inheriting a name which is greater than the name any angel had, and that is the name of Son. And in the Old Testament verses that the author is quoting, the Son is the King. And the simple point is that Christ is going to be the King of God's kingdom that is coming.
Traditionally, in Roman Catholic theology and Reformation theology, when they would read this, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you," they thought in terms of God and Jesus sharing the same substance. And so Jesus is God by nature. But that probably is imposing, although we believe that, this is probably not the verse to use to defend Jesus' deity per se. This is more of an enthronement psalm, isn't it? This is a statement of Jesus' kingly status.
Absolutely. One of these quotes come from Psalm 2. And in Psalm 2, that's exactly what happens. The king is taking the throne. And obviously, this psalm is pointing ultimately to Jesus Christ. He is going to be the king that all the Old Testament Jewish kings pointed to. And that's the point that the author is making.
And so the king had a special relationship with God so that God would say, "I'm his father."
Absolutely. The king in the Old Testament that took the throne was, in a sense, God's son, God's representative on earth. But again, these are all just foreshadowing the son who was to come, the son who was going to be the king of the world to come.
And you see this in multiple places in Jesus' ministry. For example, at his baptism, the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And also we see this at the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And so there are multiple references where the Father publicly identifies Jesus as his Son, more than just familial relationship that we have this type of relationship like a father and a son, but that this is the king. This is the coming king who's going to rule over my kingdom.
And that's a major theme in the book of Hebrews, that this kingdom is coming. And when the king comes, he's going to reward those who have been faithful to him, who've persevered and suffered with him. And that is what the author of Hebrews is exhorting the readers to do.
In verse 6, he uses an interesting term for Jesus. He says, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world." Now, firstborn, that has a very specific meaning and importance in the Mosaic law and in ancient culture, right?
Yes, the firstborn was going to be the ruler of the family over the other sons. The firstborn had this idea of authority and rulership, and that fits with the context of Hebrews perfectly, especially once we see that the book is talking about rewards and ruling in the world to come as well.
Now, some people who've met Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, sometimes they'll use this verse to show that Jesus was created, that Jesus is just a creature. He's the firstborn. But they're missing the use. He's using firstborn in the sense of showing what Jesus inherits. He's not saying anything about Jesus's how he came into existence here.
That's right. Authority, inheritance, ruling, that is what this idea of firstborn carries.
Well, I love this other quote in verse 6. He says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Wow, what does that mean?
Well, it certainly fits the original readers if they were going to go back to a religious system in Judaism which emphasized angels, especially if they thought that angels were going to be the ones who would rule the world to come. The author of Hebrews quotes from their own scriptures, the Old Testament, to show that the Old Testament said that the angels will not rule the world, but they will worship the one who will.
Well, verse 7 says, let's continue here. Verse 7 says, "And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Now, there is a lot to unpack here for sure.
When he says he's made his angels spirits, the word spirit could also be wind, and that's probably what the author has here when he refers to angels as wind and flames of fire. Both fire and wind are part of creation, and the author is saying that angels are part of creation, and therefore Jesus, who created everything, is their creator.
Mm.
And so he's talking once again about the greatness of Christ over the angels. They are part of creation, whereas Christ is the creator of these things.
Now, this in verse 8 just stuns me to anyone who doesn't have a high view of Jesus. But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your king." So there you have this kingdom focus again, but he's being called God here.
Yes, and what's interesting is from this psalm, God the Father is the one speaking. And so you have God the Father who is calling Jesus Christ God. This is a very clear indication that Jesus is deity and the greatness of Jesus over the angels.
And again, in verse 9, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." So I think that's another, would you agree that's another statement of deity?
Absolutely. And also verse 9 is very important in the book of Hebrews because we have our first occurrence of the word metakoi, from where I got my subtitle, Partners with Christ. This is coming from Psalm 45, which is a marriage psalm where the king is seated in his kingdom, and in this kingdom he's going to have medical, he's going to have partners, he's going to have those who rule with him, and they are going to be the ones who are like him, those who loved righteousness and hated lawlessness.
What we've seen here is that Christ is coming again. He's coming with a scepter. He's coming as heir. He's going to rule and reign. And if you want to share in his rule and reign, then you not only need to believe in him to have everlasting life, but you need to follow him in order to be one of his companions, one of his metakoi, one of his partners in the life to come.
Thanks to Sean, Bob, and Ken for that great discussion about Hebrews. What an interesting concept that Christ is greater than the angels. I certainly hope that you'd like to go deeper on this subject. And in Kenneth's book, there is so much to learn. I'm going to tell you how to get your very own copy of his book. You can go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can put in the title of his book in the search bar, or you can go directly to the bookstore. Either way, it'll take you to Hebrews, Partners with Christ, and you can get your own copy. While you're on our website, I hope you'll take advantage of our many free resources. You can get a subscription to our print magazine. It's a beautiful, full-color magazine. It'll show up right in your mailbox 6 times a year once you have that free subscription. In addition to that, you can get a free subscription to our daily blog posts. I know that I'm enriched by these when they show up in my inbox. You can also subscribe for free to our podcast and listen to previous episodes of this show. We have that and much more on the website. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Now, you might be interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. This program is made possible by the generous donations of listeners just like you. You can find out how to do that as well on faithalone.org. Well, it's Friday. We've made it to the weekend, and I hope you have a wonderful one. We'll be back on Monday to talk to you more about Hebrews, Partners with Christ. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.